I'm exhausted. I realize time is short. That's all right. We're going to make this quick. I thought, you know what I want to do? I want to talk about God's Word, because that's what they've spent their time on and its importance. Just a quote from R.A. Torrey: "You may talk about power, but if you neglect the one book that God has given you as the one instrument through which he imparts and exercises his power, you will not have it. You may read many books and go to many conventions, and you may have your all-night prayer meeting to pray for the power of the Holy Ghost, but unless you keep in constant, close association with the one book, the Bible, you will not have power. If you ever had power, you will not maintain it except by daily, earnest, intense study of that book. 99 Christians in every 100 are merely playing at Bible study, and therefore 99 out of 100 Christians are mere weaklings when they might be giants both in their Christian life and in their service." You know, in 1854, the United States Congress made a resolution. The resolution said this: "The Congress recommends and approves the use of the Holy Bible for use in our schools." Times have changed, haven't they? And I suspect that we spend way, maybe too much time trying to get the Bible back into these places where once Christianity was favored status. It is not favored status anymore. But today I'd like us to think about not how do we get the Bible back into all these places, but how much dust is accumulating on my Bible, on the bedstand, on the coffee stand, on the bookshelf in my home. Because really it starts with us. And if we're going to change our society, if we're going to re-energize our society, if we're going to bring about repentance in our society, we have got to be into God's Word. And it's interesting that they did this week, and I didn't plan it this way, but if you've been doing the Through the Bible annual reading, you know that this last week, actually it feels like the last 2 weeks, we've been reading Psalm 119, the center of your Bible. And if you were to read Psalm 119, you would find this massive, long psalm. And what's it all about? God's Word. And so today I want to take 5 minutes, and then we'll go to the Lord's Supper. I'm just going to take 5 minutes. I want us to look at, according to Scripture, God's Word. What is it? It's God's Word, right? It is the supreme creator, universe, builder, designer, the one that came and sacrificed his life on a cross for our sins. It is this being's written word to us. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all Scripture is inspired by God. That means God breathed. God has breathed it into the various men that wrote his word with the exact message that he wanted them to give at the exact time he wanted them to give it. You know, when you think about where you're going to push your trust, we should think about God's word. If it's the supreme being of the universe's words to us, we should pay attention. You know, back in 1985, for the first time in like 50 years, the United States government started releasing gold coins again. It hadn't done it up till then. And it warranted that those coins are absolute 22-karat gold. Depending on what denomination, you get different sizes and different weights. But they said, we guarantee the government stands behind this being gold. And they sold like crazy. In fact, I was speaking with a man in Champaign that owns both a restaurant supply store and 3 coin shops. And this was about 5 or 6 years ago. And he said to me, Dave, he said, last year I did in my restaurant supply, I did $10 million in sales. Last year in my coin shops, I did $50 million in sales. I'm like, people are buying $50 million worth of coins? And he said, well, people are buying $50 million worth of government-issued gold coins. Because they believe when the government says it's 22-karat gold, that's exactly what it is. So they're placing their trust in our government. I suggest that with God's word, we're putting our trust in someone much, much greater. And if you would open to Psalm 119, and I'm going to fly through this. I'm not going to read it. I would like to ask that if you haven't read it in your weekly readings the last 2 weeks, read this week. Take your time and go through a section at a time and just think about what God's Word says. But I want to go just through a few things. First of all, what is it? It's God's word to us. It's eternal. Psalm 118, 89 says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal." Think about human knowledge, right? Constantly it changes. Constantly we're updating. Constantly we're correcting. In the 1990s, scientists told us that, you know, humans were like one of the most evolved creatures, and so there was 100,000 genes in the human makeup. And there would be less with less complex subjects. Here we are just 30 years later, and now they tell us that the human body doesn't have 100,000 genes like they thought. It actually only has about 19 to 20,000, but a little moss plant has 32,000 genes. So I don't know if that means that it's more complex than Einstein or not, but it just shows you that our knowledge, humanly speaking, is constantly changing, but God's word is eternal. It never changes. It is true. Psalm 119, 160 says, "All your words are true." Isn't it nice to know in a culture where there are companies that spend their time truth-checking everything that the speakers out there say to see if there's actually truth to it, and constantly saying, "That's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie." God's word is truth. It is wonderful. Psalm 119, 129, "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them." In the Hebrew, the idea is extraordinary. They're fabulous. They're awesome. It is righteous. Verse 138, "The statutes you've laid down are righteous." That means there's no evil anywhere to be found in this Bible in terms of what God teaches us. In fact, Scripture tells us God can't be tempted by evil, but he also doesn't tempt anyone. So we know that everything he tells us that we need to be doing or living or acting is good, not evil. It is righteous. The statutes in 138, "The statutes you've laid down are righteous." I just did that one. Sorry. It is perfect. 96, verse 96, "To all perfection I see a limit, but your words are boundless." Now think about that for a minute. We have that in every area of our lives, there's always this striving for perfection. We want to achieve perfection. That's the best we can do, right? And we never get there. We're always just getting as close as we can. Even Mary Poppins was only practically perfect, okay? But God's word is absolutely perfect because God is perfect. What does that mean to us? First of all, God's scripture is our guide. In Psalm 119, 105, it says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, growing up in the Philippines, in the jungle, our first restroom was out in the jungle from the house. And in the day, it wasn't so bad, but at night, you were going through the jungle to the outhouse. And it was really nice to have a flashlight to light the way because there was all kinds of stuff in your way and you wanted to be aware if cobras were around or any other little wild animals. And so light was important. God's word is that light for us, okay? So as we think of it as our guide, think of the things it brings us, what it means to us. It leads us to peace. In Psalm 165, verse 165, "Great peace have they that love your law." You know, in Jeremiah 6, he's talking about the frauds that are out there going, "Peace, peace," and there is no peace. With God, we truly find the peace we all long for. It leads us to joy. In 111, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are joy of my heart." You think about the idea there is there's contentment in the storm. Because what we find is happiness is up and down. It's circumstantial. But the joy of God is in spite of the circumstance, not because of the circumstance. It leads us to wisdom. "I gain understanding from your precepts," in verse 104. This is God of the universe. So to think that we learn his very thoughts from these words here. It leads us towards purity and keeps us from sin. Verse 9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word." You know, the struggles of this life, one of the key things is temptation. And how do we deal with temptation? We pour God's word in. As they've said for years and years, you know, either the Bible, you know, study the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God's word. It doesn't work both ways. You can't combine them. It strengthened us during sorrow. 28 says, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." I can personally attest to that. It is God's word that brings you through the most grievous, deepest sorrow that you can experience. And God is faithful in his word. And it's there you find the strength to carry on. Brings us delight. 35, "Direct me in the paths of your commands. It is there I find delight." You know, delight is more than just enjoyment. Delight is this awesome. Everything is so wonderful. You know, my daughter Rachel, growing up, she was so fun to give gifts to because she just like was transported to another realm. It was like she could hear angels singing or something. She was so excited with every little gift. For me, it's my wife's chocolate chip cookies. 7 cups of chocolate chips in the mix. You don't have to look for a chocolate chip when you eat the chocolate chip cookies. I mean, these things are, when they're fresh out of the oven, there is nothing in the world like, in fact, if the rapture were to happen, I'd be tempted to go, hold on just a second, let me finish the cookie. Probably not really. Okay, so it brings delight. That's the kind of delight that his word should give us, all right? It brings freedom. 45 says, I will walk about in freedom, for I've sought your precepts. You know, Christ himself said, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You speaking of himself, but also God's word sets us free. Scripture says in Romans 6, I think it's 18, says we've been set free from sin, and we become servants of righteousness. You know, as Christians, we're no longer enslaved to sin like everybody else in the world is. We're free to operate by the power of the Spirit. It brings hope. Verse 74, I put my hope in your word. That is not a like, gee, it might happen. It's a confident expectation that God will be faithful and give us the things he's promised. It brings wisdom, again, in verse 100. I have more understanding than the elders because I obey your precepts. Think about it. As elders, we tend to think we gain wisdom by the experiences we've had, but none of that compares with the experiencing of God's word. And finally, it is trustworthy. In 86, it says, all your commands are trustworthy. Why are they trustworthy? Because God is a good God and he loves us. So I know that what he tells us in here, the things he wants from us, are there for our good and our benefit, and we can count on them and trust them. You know, George Foreman, in his book, God in My Corner, writes this. In 1974, before I went to Africa to fight Ali, a friend gave me a Bible. He said, George, keep this with you for good luck. I believe the Bible was just a shepherd's handbook because I knew the verse that said, the Lord is my shepherd. But I was always looking for luck, so I carried the Bible with me. I had lucky pennies and good luck charms, so now I added the lucky Bible to my collection of superstitious items. After I lost the Bible, or after I lost the fight, I threw the Bible away. I never even opened it. I didn't realize that I needed to read it and believe what it says. Since then, I've come to understand that the Bible is my roadmap, not my good luck charm. So as I close today, may I say this? I think oftentimes we forget that this is God's roadmap. This is what God wants from us. But be careful, because so often we get caught up in the intellectual side. If I ask you intellectually, what is the Bible? It's God's word. If I ask you relationally, what is the Bible? Hopefully you say, it is God's word to me. And it's by this that I come to know him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word that we received. I thank you for these young kids that are studying and learning about your word. Help them to delve ever deeper into it, learn about it, but also experience the writer of it and learn to have a relationship with you. Heavenly Father, watch over this body, protect from sin, keep us focused on your word. In Jesus' name, amen.